nothing that Jesus ever did was normal. I want you to think about that. He told a little boy, give me your fish and your bread. And he multiplied it. That wasn't normal. The Bible says that he rubbed mud into men's eyes and they'd see again. There's one scripture that said he spit in somebody's eyes. I don't think we're going to do that. That wasn't normal. He called a dead man out of the grave. That wasn't normal. He would speak to religious leaders that thought they had it all together. He said, you're full of dead man's bones. You're white sepulchers. Wasn't normal. Everything that God does isn't really normal. When we get into a place where we think, now we're comfortable, now everything is the same. Can I just tell you? That's when he's going to change everything. And he didn't bring this on, but he's going to use these times and these moments in your life and in my life and our families just to rearrange some things and to make them better. I think I'm talking to a husband and wife tonight. Maybe you're getting along better than you have. Maybe I'm talking to a family tonight. Maybe you're sitting together. You're having dinner together. You haven't done that. You're finding out the value in some things. And it's okay. It's good. It doesn't mean that you have to regret things behind you, but embrace the things that are in front of you. Amen? I want to give you an opportunity to give tonight. Can I just say to each one of you, thank you so much. Thank you. And if you've never given, if you're part of the City Church of St. Anthony's, I just want to not only say thank you, but if you're not one of those who are a regular giver, would you consider becoming a regular giver to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? We've been doing a lot of extra things. We're going to do some other things. We're going to make it when you come back. The experience is going to be incredible. But our heart is to win and to lead people to a saving knowledge of a Jesus that came into the world to save people that didn't even know it, like me, like many of you. If you would, if you have the PushPay app, you can go and you can give online that way with your PushPay app. You can text the City Church NY 77977 at any time. You can go to our website at thecitychurch.com. Just click on the Give tab at the top. Or you can send it in the mail to City Church, 210 East Main Street in Batavia, New York. We're so grateful for you to do that. And if you haven't already done this, already share this on your page. Invite some people to go to church with you tonight. Now, I said earlier that every one of you, for the last couple weeks, I've been saying, I want to pause just for about 15 seconds and let you say hi to a few people. So will you do that? Will you take that time right now? I'm going to just be quiet for about 13, 14 seconds. Right in the comments section. Say hi to somebody. Tell them it's great to see their face on Facebook. If you're watching it, YouTube, you're just going to have to send us an email or something, okay? 15 seconds, go. Eight more seconds. Don't forget this Sunday is Mother's Day. Hope you got your mom something. Ryan, you got your mom something yet?
Have I ever not got my mom something?
No, I think you always have. Pastor Ryan, come on, say hi to everybody tonight.
Hey, it's good to see you. Great to be with you as always. You're a blessing, whether you know it or not. All the love, all the togetherness makes what we do here so much easier. So just our great thanks and gratitude to you tonight. I heard today, and I've been asking the Lord very specifically, and I pray that you're doing the same. God, speak to me. And I know that's hard to contextualize, that God in heaven wants to speak to your heart. He wants to minister to your mind and to your spirit, but he'll do that. He'll do just that. And I begin to ask the Lord again this week, as I have every week since we started, I begin to ask him, Lord, speak to me. And this came to me. Someone said today how they were tired, how they were weary and how they were just plain old wore out. And I just really quickly, I want to share with you a couple quick ways to get burned out. A couple quick ways to wear yourself down. I pray that you'll jot these two things down. Philippians 3:1 says this, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." This is what the Apostle Paul said. The quickest way to get tired is to do things your way. To go off on your own and think that you got it all worked out and the plans that you made up, the vision that you made up and let everyone know of, that exactly what you want to do, you're doing. The quickest way, one of the quickest ways to burn yourself out and get tired is to do it your own way. I hope you're with me tonight. Second thing, quick way to get burned out. Scripture says in Philippians 3:3, it says, "For we who worship by the Spirit of God," that's what we just did here tonight. We begin to worship the Lord. We begin to lift Him up. Yeah, do we face things? Yeah, do we feel pressure? Yeah, are we discomforted? Yes, we are. But we still come back to lift the name of the Lord high. To tell Him that you are good and your mercy endures forever. And it goes on to say this. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. The second way to get burned out and get tired real quick is to forget to worship. And the last thing, Scripture says this in Philippians 3:12. It says, "Not that I have already attained it or I have already arrived at my goal." But He says, you know the Scripture tonight. He says, "I press towards the goal." I press forward to what Christ Jesus took hold for me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet taking hold of it, but this one thing I do, He says, I forget about what happened and I move forward. The quickest way to get burned out is to stop. That's so counterproductive, Ryan. I just when I get tired, I just want to shut down. I want to run away from the world. I want to run away from my church. I want to run away from my pastor. But you know what the Scripture says? Apostle Paul says, "I press on. I press towards." I want to speak to you tonight. I want to tell a dad. I want to tell a mom. I want to tell a son, a daughter. I want to tell a servant in the house of the Lord, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't walk away now. Press on, the Apostle Paul says. That's a word from the Lord for someone tonight. Thank God for His house. Thank God for His people. And thank God for the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in this place. I'm thankful for you. I'll see you soon. God bless you. Oh, I didn't know. Listen, tonight, all these things that I just said, be a worshiper. Don't quit. Don't stop. And don't do your own will. You know, I could say a lot about Erin, but I've watched her since you were how old? About 30? When I was 5? For about 35 years, I've got to watch Pastor Erin serve in the Lord's house. She's a worshiper. She does the will of the Father, and she doesn't quit. She's not a quitter. We talk all the time. You can be a wannabe quitter, but you just can't quit. Would you send some love tonight through Facebook to Pastor Erin Martin tonight? God bless you.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm glad and thankful to be able to be sharing with you tonight. Every time I come up here on the stage, I'm just so amazed at the grace of God and the people that He's placed in my life that have truly encouraged me to be here and the person that I am today. And it is really by the grace of God that I am here, and I will never take that for granted. I want to share with you tonight questions to ask yourself when you face a hardship. Questions that you should be asking yourself when you face something that was unexpected, something in life that maybe threw a curveball at you. These are some questions that we should be asking ourselves. Before we do that, I just want to pray. God, I do thank You for this time. I thank You for every person watching, God, that You would just open up our hearts to You. God, take me out of the equation, God, and just fill us with Your love and Your grace tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So questions to ask yourself when you face a hardship. So I have to be honest that when this whole shutdown happened due to Corona, it really didn't bother me. The whole social distancing aspect of it, it just didn't affect me the way that it seemed to be affecting everyone else. It did affect me as far as like teaching dance. It was and still is affecting me. It just breaks my heart. You know, recital is supposed to be next weekend, and that just brings a whole new element of layering on, you know, just my heart hurts for that. But the normalcy of talking to and communicating with people on that everyday level, it just didn't seem to affect me the way that it was affecting everybody else. Like, I'm okay if I don't talk to my friends all the time. You know, I have friends in Texas and in New York City. Like, that's okay if we don't talk for a year and then all of a sudden we talk again. Like, that to me is okay. I don't seem to have to communicate with my coworkers every day. Like, I'm okay. It doesn't emotionally bother me. If the only reason we need to communicate sometimes is let's figure out a problem and let's move forward. You know, let's solve some problems. Let's do it that way. And that seems to be okay. I found myself asking God, like, why do I feel this way? Why is everyone else seeming to really be affected by this and I'm not? Like, I'm already weird enough. Like, why are you throwing this at me too? You know, why am I feeling like this? Because I know that we do life together, right? It's something that we say here. It's something that I truly believe. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I truly believe we do life together and we need people around us. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have people around me. And I realized that. So the very fact that it wasn't bothering me really bothered me that it wasn't bothering me. So the Bible says that God created us in his image, right? So when he created us in his image, he created us for relationship. He created us for communion. In fact, each step of the way when God created the earth, he said that everything was good. But when he created mankind, we heard him say something we haven't heard him say before. It is not good for man to be alone. And so if relationships are everything, then communication is the lifeblood of our relationships. So again, I ask God, why is this not bothering me the way it's bothering everyone else? And then I felt this peace about it. I just felt him say, you're just processing it a little different. You're just processing different. We all handle life differently. We all handle friendships differently. And we all process things differently as we walk through life. If I looked at the book of Ruth, Naomi had two sons, right? Both got married. So she had now had two daughter-in-laws. Both of her sons died. The two daughter-in-laws were faced with a choice. And Naomi said to them, go back to your home. Go back to your moms. Go back to your dads. Find and build a life. There's nothing here for you anymore. So Orpah and Ruth, they looked at her. They cried. One chose to go back to home, right? But Ruth chose to stay. Now, we know that Ruth turned into this beautiful story of grace and loyalty, but it doesn't say in the Bible that Orpah was shunned to hell because she chose not to stay with Naomi. She processed the whole situation differently. And so based on that, we all handle things that get thrown at us differently. So tonight I just wanted to ask the question, how are we adjusting? How are we processing what's happening around us? And I don't mean just now based off of Corona. I mean when life throws you a curveball that you weren't expecting, when you get a phone call that you weren't expecting, when your car breaks down, when something in your family is happening, how are you processing that? How are we handling that? So let's talk about the questions that we should be asking ourselves when life throws us a curveball. The first question that we should ask ourselves is, what am I focusing on? What am I focusing on? 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's very easy to look at around us and see disaster everywhere. It's very easy to get caught up on what's going on around us. It's easy to do because it's everywhere. It's easy to do because it's tangible. It's right there. Right now, life seems to be a big mess. It's not always going to be like that. It will come to an end. God will come through. That we know. But it's easy to lose sight of what we should be focusing on when something happens to us that we weren't expecting. Psalm 121, it seems to be a psalm that is really close to my heart during this time, because sometimes I can be focused so much on what's going on that I can see that I lose my focus on what I should be looking at. And David writes these words, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." He says, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains." He may have seen things going on around him that he could see, but he says, "I'm not going to focus on that. I need to lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." When we focus on God and not what's going wrong, that's when we will see breakthrough. That's when we will see breakthrough. Proverbs 4:25 says, "Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you." And then in verse 27, he says, "Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Lift up your eyes." Question to ask yourself right now is, what am I focusing on? Second question to ask, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Earl Nightingale said, "We become what we think about." We become what we think about. So based on that question, based on the thoughts that you have been thinking about, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming based on the thoughts that you're thinking? Philippians 4, 8 through 9, we've heard this scripture many times these past 2 months, but I'm going to read it again. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things." Then he says, "Whatever you've learned or seen or heard in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Think about such things. But isn't it crazy how right before he writes all that, he writes, "Don't be anxious about anything"? Like, really? You're telling me not to be anxious, and then you're telling me, think about all these things. I don't know about you, but my thoughts can go from 0 to 60 in about 0.02 seconds. It's not good. I can think of every wrong thing, everything that may happen, maybe happen, has the slightest bit of chance happening in that seconds. My mind goes there. Very bad. In fact, I'm banned from WebMD when anyone in our house is sick. Ben will literally take my phone. "What are you looking at? Take that," and throw my phone, because I'm just like, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen?" Right? That's where my mind goes. I start thinking about these things. I've had many sleepless nights because my thoughts were not true. They weren't noble. They weren't right, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy. Now, I do not by any means have this perfected. I wish I did. I really, really do. But I know that God is working on me with that. And honestly, because I've had to be strong for my kids, because I've had to be strong for the dance studio, because I've had to be strong here at the church, you feel like, okay, we're going to be positive, right? I've been more likely to think about the positive things. And because of that, it really does help. I'm like, okay, maybe the Bible's right, right? He's telling us to be true, to think on what is admirable, pure, and lovely. I tell my kids and the dance girls all the time to find something positive in the day. Find something that's good that's happened today. Let's not focus on the negative. Let's find something positive. And when you do that, your spirit begins to be lifted. That's why he says, think about what is admirable and true and excellent and praiseworthy, because he knows the thoughts that we think determine the way that we're going to go. There's a future version of yourself that is thankful you are strong today. And I'll even say there's a future version of yourself that is thankful that you began to think good thoughts today, that you began to ponder what is positive today. Carolyn Leaf, she's a scientist and psychologist. She studies the brain. And she says, we can't live in freedom if we constantly allow our toxic thoughts to monopolize our thinking. We will never live in freedom if we constantly have toxic thoughts in our minds. We have to battle those thoughts with scripture. We have to be ready for when they come. Soldiers don't look for weapons when the bullets are flying around them. The bullets are coming. They're not like, oh man, I need a weapon. No, they're ready. They are ready and prepared ahead of time at all times. And that's exactly what we need to do. So that tells me that we can choose what we think about. We can choose if a negative thought comes in our mind, we can choose not to think about that. And we can choose to begin to say scripture to wipe away that negative thought. We can train our brain to think on what is good and not entertain the negative. So again, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about worldly fears or God's promises? So number one, what are you focused on? Number two, what are you thinking about? Number three, who are you talking to? Now again, at the beginning, I said it really didn't bother me that we weren't able to talk to people or come, you know, connect with people physically this way. I'm not a big talker. I'm just not. I'll talk for 20 minutes here, and then I'm, like, done for the night, for the week, really. You know, in fact, in our house, they say that the ladies will talk way more than the guys. In our house, it's actually reversed. Ben just, you know, he likes to talk. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is in our house. I get this weird social anxiety thing when we walk into a gathering, and I push through every time. In fact, every time we come to the church on a Sunday or a Thursday, I take the whole car ride, and I literally prepare myself, because I don't want to be like that, you know what I mean? It creeps up on me, and I, like, get paralyzed. I'm not good at small talk. It's just not what I'm good at. Anytime we walk into a gathering, ask my husband, we go up the driveway, I'm like, okay, who's here? Whose car is that? What am I going to do? Literally, I just ask them every time. Because, again, I just get so nervous that I have to talk to people. So I read this story, and it's tough to hear. I'm warning you ahead of time. It's very, very tough to hear. It's a very sad story. Emperor Frederick, he was a ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. He wanted to find out man's original language. He reasoned that if infants never heard one word, they would speak in the language that was natural to them. So he arranged to have some newborn babies cared for by nurses who were instructed to maintain total silence in their presence. This was extremely difficult, but they obeyed. So those babies didn't hear one word, one sound at all. And within several months, all of those babies died. The illustration points out the obvious, that communication is critically important. We need to talk to people. We need people to talk to us. And we need to push through those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another, build each other up. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There's reasons why we may not communicate, right? We're scared of rejection. We don't know what to say. We don't want people to see who we really are or how we really feel about something. Or we may have social anxiety. But the reasons why we should communicate far outweigh all of those things. We were born for relationship, for communion, for friendship. We need to let out what's inside. Trust me, I've been through it. And again, I'm not there all the time, but you begin to think about things and you begin to feel things. And the more it builds up, the more likely you are just to explode at one time, right? I've been there, done that. But we need to let out what's inside. We should let others know that we care, and we can't do life alone. That's not what we were created to do. We can't do life alone. So three questions so far. What are you focused on? What are you thinking about? And who are you talking to? But there's one thing that we have to do in order to get those three things to line up. And I saved it for last. The fourth question is, have you given it to God? Have you laid it down? Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you're thinking about, whatever it is that you seem to be focused on, whatever it is that's stressing you out, have you given it to God? So a question is, how heavy does something have to be too heavy? How heavy does something have to be too heavy? Consider this story. A psychologist walked around the room while teaching stress management to an audience. As she raised her glass of water, everyone expected that they would be asked, is the glass half full or half empty? Instead, with a smile on her face, she inquired, how heavy is this glass of water? Answers called out and ranged from 8 ounces to 20 ounces. She replied, the absolute weight of this glass of water doesn't matter. It depends on how long I hold it up like this. If I hold it for a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'll have an ache in my arm. But if I hold it like this for a day, my arm will feel numb and paralyzed. In each case, the weight of this glass of water doesn't change. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. The stresses and worries in life are like this glass of water that I'm holding. I think about them for a little bit and nothing may happen. It's just a glass of water that I'm holding up. If I think about it a bit longer, my arm begins to shake. It may begin to hurt a little bit. But if I continue to hold this glass of water like this during the day and at night, and I keep holding it like this, my arm will become numb and paralyzed. And that's exactly what we do with the stresses in our life. The longer we hold on to them, the more stressed we begin to feel and the heavier burden that we begin to feel. We need to learn how to put down the glass of water, so to say. We need to learn how to lay down those things that are stressing us out and giving them to God. We weren't meant to carry the burdens that we put on ourselves so many times. We weren't meant to walk around in life like this. The Bible says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We need to take whatever's stressing us out. We need to take those things that we're so consumed with, and instead of walking around like this all the time, we need to say, God, I need your help. I need to lay it down. I need to put down whatever it is that's holding me back. I need to put down whatever it is that I'm scared of. I need to put down and give it to you whatever I'm stressed about. And I'm telling you, it's not always easy, right? It's not always easy. It's a good thing to say, oh, just give it to God. I understand. We feel like we're doing something when we have it like this. We feel like we can control it a little bit. But in fact, it's not. We're not controlling it at all. We're just becoming paralyzed to the fact that we serve a God that wants to take all of those things from us. He wants us to know that we can come to him with anything. And before we can focus on what is good, before we can think about the things that are true and lovely, before we can even talk to somebody, we need to come to God and we need to say, I give this to you. So ask yourself, have you given it to God tonight? Have you laid it down? Because that's when you'll be able to focus, think, and talk in the positive way that we are supposed to be talking about. Let's pray tonight. God, I thank you again for every person. I pray that, God, we are able to just give you whatever it is that's bothering us, whatever it is that's stressing us out, God, whatever it is that we're worried about, God, we want to put it down. We don't want to pick it back up. We don't want to carry it with us. We know that you're a God that has grace, God. We know that you're a God that will help us walk this life that you have called for us to walk, God. We know that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, God. And we want to live in that freedom. And we want to give those things to you. I ask for every person just to be able to do that tonight, God. I pray for sleepless nights. God, that people will find rest tonight. I pray for broken hearts tonight, God, that you will begin to mend them. I pray for people that feel like they can't go on, God, that you will just give them a new life, new energy, God, because we're laying it down for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Here's Malachi. He's going to sing tonight.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over. My story's just begun. And where you won't define me, that's what my Father does. Where you won't define me, that's what my Father does. Your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Oh, I was not the just the one in my heart. And the story isn't over. And the story isn't good now. Failure is never final when the Father's in the room. Don't you believe that? Failure is never final when the Father's in the room.
That you're carrying. You think you can handle it? It just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. God wants to take it from you tonight. Pastor Aaron and Pastor Ryan, both come on up and stand next to me. We're going to pray for you tonight. I believe God for something extraordinary to happen in someone's life tonight. This wasn't just a message pulled out of the air. This was really definitely for someone tonight. Some of you may be hanging on to unforgiveness. You may be hanging on to shame from your past. It's time for you to set that down. It's weighing you down way more than it needs to. We're going to pray for you tonight. Guys, come on in here a little closer to me. And just let's just agree together for each and every person tonight. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that it was an on time for an individual, for many tonight. Those that watch live, even those that will watch it later, I pray that you will free each and every individual that is carrying that weight, to lay that weight aside that so easily besets us. Your scripture says to take your yoke, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, today, tonight, this moment, we lay it down. I want you to listen to me. If you've never given your life to Christ, you're going to carry burdens. You're going to have challenges all your life. You need to give your life to Him. I want to pray for you. Somebody's watching tonight. You've never given your life to Christ, and you need to do that. Just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come on, right where you're at. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all of my faults, all of my failures, all of my issues, and come into my heart and into my life. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. And I'll live for you all the days of my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen with me. Hey, listen, don't forget, use your Push Pay app. You can give it anytime. Text the word Thus City Church NY to 77977. You can go to our website, thecitychurch.com, click on the Give tab at the top of the page, or send it to City Church, 210 East Main Street, Batavia, New York, 14020. We love you. We do life together. See you Sunday, Mother's Day. We've got some special things happening. Love all you moms. Love all you people. God bless you so much.